Hey guys, welcome to the second episode of Under the Safe Light. I'm going to be talking to you tonight while I develop a few rolls of 120. I've been very, very unmotivated lately to do anything, and it's pretty bad. So tonight I'm actually forcing myself down in the dark room to start developing some film I've been sitting on for a while, and I thought this would be a good time to make a podcast. So I'm standing in my newly renovated dark room. I say renovated, I guess reconfigured would be a better wording. I've pretty much moved one of my walls, and I cut my garage straight down the center now, so my entire dark room is in the back half of the garage. What this allows me to do now is I have my sink actually in my dark room now instead of having to go outside the room through the revolving door, and it makes it a lot easier to carry trays and, wash and clean up and everything, as you can imagine. But I also opened up quite a large space now. I'm going to set up a table and I'll have room to frame, mat, and finish my photographs. I want to get into retouching as well, spotting. Using the spot tone, which I've yet to purchase any. But this with this new dark room now too, with a summer coming up, it's going to be a little bit warmer in here, and I think the ambient temperature will finally be warm enough. Maybe I can dive into some color printing, sea prints. I've never done it before, and I've kind of been stuck on, like, I need a rotary processor of some kind to do it. But I had the epiphany the other day that with the ambient temperature being a little bit warmer, all the chemicals will the temperatures will stay more consistent just in the trays. In the garage, it's going to be around 75 to 80 degrees this summer, which I think would be perfect for the RA4 process from some of the data sheets I've been reading. So I'm hoping to dive into that and play around with it a little bit this summer. Some of my other ideas I've been having, I want to try liquid light again. I had a little bit of, if you guys don't know what liquid light is, it's a liquid emulsion that you can actually coat on pretty much whatever surface. A lot of people use watercolor paper. I've printed on sheet metal, I've printed on plywood, as well as, just regular drawing paper. Pretty much you need a substrate though that can handle being submerged in the liquid for the processing times, so you can't use anything too thin. But I think it'd be cool. I want to experiment on printing on a plywood and various other substrates that possibly, aren't just square. They could be round or just random shapes. And I'm kind of excited. I got an old bottle here that says it's expired, but I'm going to give it a shot because, as we all know, just because it says it's expired doesn't necessarily mean that it's not any good. And that kind of leads me into another experiment that I would like your guys' input on as well, if you have any ideas. Having this dark room, I really love being able to finish my photos all analog. I don't hardly make any kind of inkjet prints, and it really just kind of sucks the fun out of it for me. And one of the things, I like to shoot slide film, but I don't shoot it that often because there's no way for me to make prints of it in the dark room. And I had this epiphany the other day. I was thinking of making a slide or putting the slide film in the enlarger and make an enlargement of it, which I think it would create a negative print. You would develop that normally, And then I would then make a contact print from that paper negative. Now I know that the tones would not be the same as if it was shot on film, but I think this might be a, kind of an interesting experiment to try and see if anything good comes from it. And I think that's really a lot of the fun part in the darkroom is being able to experiment like that. So maybe that's what this episode's about, is experimentation. Going back to the liquid light, you know, you can really do some cool things with it by doing different brush strokes, and you can spread it around with your finger, you can show your brush strokes, you can make it as smooth as you want. You could write your name on there. I'm going to have to pause for a second so I can wash my film. I'll be right back with you guys. Hi, okay, I'm back. Sorry if you can hear my film washing in the background. I'll try to talk loud enough you can hear over it. But in the spirit of experimentation, you know, I have some ideas for you guys to try out. Developing straight prints, there's a lot of cool things that you can do. One of the things being, you know, I used to put my developer in a spray bottle, and I would put it in an empty tray and spray it on or drip it on using my fingertips, or you could sponge it on. And, you know, you want to be careful not to fill up, you know, the entire area, but you can get some cool effects with the development and just having it develop in the drips. That's one thing that's kind of neat. Another thing is, you know, while it's developing in a tray like that, you know, you can put a little bit of developer on with a brush or something, and then throw some fixer on there immediately, just in areas, and it'll actually kind of turn your prints a little brown and give it a little bit of a tone where the fixer and developer mixes. Another thing that, you know, we kind of learned this the hard way, that the temperature of the paper will affect development. And what we would see is, before we knew any better, with using tongs, we would use our fingers, and grabbing the corners of the paper to pull them in and out of the tray. And you would get little brown corners where the heat from your thumb would affect the development of the paper. So that's something you guys can try, you know, maybe put your handprint or, you know, take a blow dryer or something to it and see if what kind of cool effects you can do. That's not stuff I experiment with too much anymore, because I like just making straight prints, but it's all, you know, it's all in the spirit of experimentation, and you might find something that you guys really enjoy doing. You know, you can throw a little stop bath on there and see what happens, and you know, you can get different chemical stains like that. I overcame a huge mental block last week. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's really not that monumental. But, you know, I have this 4x5 and larger, and for me, you know, I want to print large. You know, 8x10s are about the smallest I print, and my standard size is 11x14. But I've been sitting on some 16x20 paper for almost a year now, that, you know, it's 10 sheets per box, and, you know, if you look up prices, you can, you know, it's kind of pricey. And I had just been waiting for the right picture to come along to enlarge on 16x20, and, you know, my darkroom skills are still limited. You know, a lot of people can make a single test strip and then judge the exposure and have a good prints straight off. Well, you know, working with 11 by 14, a lot of times, you know, before I get a print I'm happy with, I'm working, you know, I'll use two or three pieces of paper, dodging and burning and making test strips before I come down to something that I like. Well, working with just 10 sheets of 16 by 20, that's not really acceptable, because you're going to burn through paper, an entire $80 box of paper, just on one print that way. And I actually make test strips for the 16 by 20 using 11 by 14 of the same paper type. And it may not be exact, but it gets me pretty damn close. You know, the emulsions come out different out of each batch. But it got me real close, and I was only using about one sheet of paper. But I was fairly proud of myself. You know, like I said, I was making roadblocks for myself. And I finally decided to just, you know, have at it. I took a couple photos that I liked. You know, they're nothing special, but they're some of my newer work, and I like them quite a bit. And I thought they were would be worthy to enlarge on 16 by 20. They're square format, so they come out to be about 15 by 15. And my wife approved me to frame them and hang them on the walls upstairs, so that's a win. You know, they won't just hang up in the dark room and go to waste now. But it really got me over that mental roadblock that it's just paper. And it's just money. I'm looking into cheaper alternatives, you know, possibly buying roll paper and cutting it to size for a little bit of a discount, or maybe going with a different brand that's not Ilford. But, you know, the idea is, you know, the roadblock that was in my head, it was just silly. And, you know, if you guys are having any kind of concerns or reservations about something you want to try to do, you know, don't think too much into it, just do it. And what's the worst that's going to happen in the long run? You know, you can come up with some pretty cool things by making mistakes. So, you know, even if you fail on your intended purpose of, you know, doing whatever you want to do, you know, you might come up with something even cooler that you like better, or give you an idea to try something else later on. Anyway, I'm done rambling enough, I think, for this episode. Hope maybe you guys got something out of it, or if you didn't, that's fine too. But, you know, what I'm saying is just get out there and make some work, and, make photos, not files. So, you guys have a good night. Be sure to give me a follow on Instagram at Bryce_Randall. Give this podcast a like or subscribe if you feel like it. And I'll catch you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.